the great Exodus.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. We live in a society where suffering is seen as a sign of failure or weakness. Pain is something that needs to be quickly ridden off. We know we are constantly being bombarded by commercials of all kinds of pain-numbing drugs. There has been a rapid increase in the use of prescription and non-prescription drugs in the United States in the last two decades. In 2015, more than 33,000 Americans died as a result of opioid overdose. It indicates our tolerance for pain and suffering is probably at its lowest now than ever before. We are a people who look for quick fixes and instant gratification. Absence of pain for some is the sign of God's favor. How do we understand the gospel for today in the ethos of our present context in America? Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." What are we to do with our pain and suffering? How are we to understand it? What are we to do with the absurd, the tragic, the nonsensical, and the unjust pain and suffering we come upon at one time or another in our lifetime? Isn't what Jesus is saying to us counterintuitive to that of what our society upholds and embraces? In our gospel today, we see Jesus visioning his path of suffering, his upcoming arrest, his humiliation, his torture, and then crucifixion as a path for glorification. Though he wishes for a moment to let this cup pass us away, he quickly comes back to embrace his passion and say that it is for this reason that I came into this world. He turns his wounds into sacred wounds. He turns his suffering into sacred suffering, meaningful suffering. He transforms his pain and suffering for redemption of humanity. If we do not transform our pain, we will most assuredly transmit it, usually to the closest around us. Our family, our neighbors, our work partners, and invariably the most vulnerable, our children. Today in our society, it is transmitted to our young people who are increasingly becoming opioid users. Today in our society, our unresolved hurt is exported to other vulnerable groups, scapegoating such groups as the LGBTQ community and the DACA dreamers and the immigrants from non-European countries, and of course, the undocumented. Unless we can find meaning for our suffering, that God is somehow in it, that God is somehow in our suffering and can use it for good. Humanity is in major trouble. The cross, rightly understood and rightly held close to, always leads to resurrection. It has become a tradition for us to hold one Sunday during Lent to focus on forgiveness. This year, unlike prior years, I miss being with you in our Lenten journey. I trust it has been a blessed one for you. In the last 4 weeks, I missed worshiping in church on 2 Sundays due to travel. On 1 Sunday, I had the privilege of assisting at the Eucharist and preaching, and that too at the church where I grew up, where I went to Sunday school, where I taught Sunday school, where I led the youth group. Almost every day we had family prayers, reading, singing, and praying in Malayalam. That's our language in that part of India, the southern part of India. The memorial prayer for my mom was well attended and was very meaningful. Now, I get to join you, my family, here for the remainder of the Lenten journey, especially on this Sunday service of forgiveness and healing. Among the most powerful of human experiences is to give or to receive forgiveness. One of the most powerful experiences in life is that. Last year, at the convent of Jesus and Maria in Nadia, West Bengal, India, a 71-year-old nun was gagged and brutally gang-raped during robbery attempt. The thousands of people who thronged to the convent to console this nun were touched by her prayers for her attackers. She too wanted not to have this bitter, painful, humiliating experience. If possible, take this cup away from me. But as she meditated on what Jesus said, if you want to serve me, you must follow my example. Not to numb the pain with drugs or to export it to somebody else, but to suffer it, to live with it, to suffer that pain through the period. And that was what Jesus did on the cross. She found sufficient grace to pray for her attackers. This is the way of Christian, and this is the way Christians will produce fruit. It is said many people in deathbed and very close to dying, but continue to linger on because they find it difficult to let go of those grudges and hurts they hold on to. And once they somehow find the grace to seek forgiveness and to forgive, they become free and untethered to fly off into the next phase of life. In forgiveness, we live up to our true and deepest dignity. We then operate by a power and a logic not of our own. Without forgiveness, nothing new happens, and we remain frozen in a small past. Forgiveness is the only way to free ourselves from the entrapment of the past. All our readings for today point out how God foresaw the need for forgiveness from the beginning of creation, and how he has prepared himself to take on the suffering, take on the human suffering, by welcoming it and by going through it rather than avoiding it. I would like you to engage with me in a prayer of welcoming. Prayer of welcoming grace to undergo suffering in our lives. First, identify a hurt or an offense in your life, something from your past or even the present. Remember the feelings you first experienced with this hurt and feel them the way you first felt it. Notice how this shows up in your body. This is what I'm asking you to do. Do it right now, not sometime later. Paying attention to your body sensation keeps you from jumping into the mind and its dualistic games of good guy and bad guy, win, lose, either or. After you can identify the hurt and feel it in your body, welcome it. Stop fighting it. Stop splitting and blaming. Welcome the grief. Welcome the anger. I know it is hard to do, but for some reason, when you name it, feel it, and welcome it, transformation can begin. Don't lose presence to the moment. Any kind of analysis will lead you back into the attachment to your ego self. You know, the reason a bird sitting on a hot wire is not electrocuted is quite simply because it does not touch the ground to give the electricity a pathway. Hold that creative tension, but don't ground it by thinking about it, critiquing it, or analyzing it. When you are able to welcome your own pain, you will in some way feel the pain of the whole world. This is what it means to be human, and also it means to be divine. You can hold this immense pain because you too are being held by the very one who went through this process on the cross. Jesus was holding all the pain of the world. Though the world had to come to hate him, he refused to hate back. Now hand all this pain, yours and the world's, over to God. Let it go. Ask for the grace of forgiveness for the person who hurt you, for the event that offended you, or the reality of suffering, maybe an illness, maybe something else. In each life, I can promise the pain will leave easily or quickly. To forgive is not to forget, but letting go frees up a great amount of soul energy that liberates a level of life you didn't know existed. It leads you to your true self. In a few moments, I will lead you in a guided prayer. And if you have those pieces of paper and the pencils, please write on it people that you want to forgive, as well as you like to seek forgiveness from. Or maybe a habit, or maybe an illness that you are going through. Maybe praying for someone else. And when the time comes, you will come forward to burn it and leave it in the receptacle.